This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, thanks again to Jesse Agler. Although I do want to, I want to push back against something you said about the Padres catchers, but I just want to bring up a question for you guys. We also have another pair of tickets to Hart. We'll give those away coming up this hour as well, and we've got our Reindl report just in a couple of minutes. But as we talked about, and you asked him about, you know, Schilte's trust in those catchers and the pitcher's trust in the catchers. And I totally get it. I even remember, like, from Little League, I was a pitcher and I pitched better. Certain catchers I felt comfortable with, you know, they called good games, they framed the ball well, gave me a good target. It made a difference. So I'm not denying that catching is important. However, in the era of PitchCom, where more and more pitchers, maybe all of them, can start calling their own games, how much does it really matter, you know, what kind of rapport you have with the catcher? Just catch the ball. I know what I want to throw.
I disagree. I'm asking. I think if you ask, think about it, and I know PitchCom has changed the game a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, you look at some of the greats, you know, and some of the greats always had the guy that they were felt a lot more comfortable throwing to. Now, some guys don't care. They just don't care. They're like, give me the ball. I'm going to go out and I'm going to throw the rock, try to put it where I want. But I think it's a real thing. And, you think about like the Padres, as bad as Luis Camposano was defensively last year, we won a lot of ball games with him in there. And some of the pitchers actually pitched really, really well. Dylan Cease threw a no-hitter with Campy back behind the dish, and he was ranked one of the worst defensive catchers. So it's about comfortability. It's about familiarity. Jesse said, those relationships that start in spring training. And yeah, of course, man, PitchCom changes a lot. But again, you still have to be on the same page, I think, with PitchCom, and maybe even quicker, Ben. Like, if the catcher's calling that game.
Well, if the catcher's calling the game, yes. But if the pitcher is calling the game, and I don't know exactly, I know you, Darvish.
I don't know the percentage.
Michael King usually calls his own game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if the pitcher is calling his own game, I'm just asking the question, how much rapport you have to have with that catcher when you're the one telling him. Now, when the catcher's calling the game, you can't be shaking off all the time, especially in the pitch clock era. So you've got to have a really good catcher who's on the same wavelength that you are. But if the pitcher is calling the game, I just wonder. I mean, if someone else came in, then they know what they're doing. They're major league catchers who've had success in other organizations. Are they really not going to be able to, you know, get a rapport quickly with a guy, especially who's calling his own game? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, we're all about this. I just think that maybe we're overemphasizing the importance now.
We are. And the funny thing is, man, if one part of it is true, the other part needs to be true as well. A guy could come in here, spend 15 minutes with the starting pitchers, and those guys go, man, this guy really knows his stuff. He's done his homework, and I actually feel really good throwing to him. That absolutely can happen. No question. I think, you know, we use the familiarity excuse, and I'm not saying Mike Schilt is doing that, but the continuity excuse of, well, we certainly can't make any big waves now because nobody's going to know what we know. And, you know, I think a guy can go up and go, no, this guy clearly knows his stuff. And I love how he frames my slider. I love how he goes and gets my fastball, whatever it may be. There's a lot of nuance to this game. And a new guy could come in here and hit the ground running just as easy as anybody else. So that needs to be on the table when you're thinking about it as well.
Yeah, I'm not saying discount the factor of the of what they have built. I'm just saying, don't be completely afraid to upgrade at a position that you've needed to upgrade at all season based on some outdated notion of the catcher has to be the one catching this guy who's now pushing a button on his belt and calling his own game for the most part.
Let me flip the script on you a little bit. I think this is going to sting a little bit. So in golf, you're just hitting the ball. You're just hitting your golf shot. Yeah, it's the same thing. I'm just going to hit my golf shot. I'm going to chip it out of the rough, and I'm going to try to knock it in the hole. Caddies are just guys that carry bags?
I think it depends on the caddy and the golfer. I think for some golfers, yeah, the caddy, they don't even want to hear what the caddy has to say. I'm making my own decision. I'm playing my game. I'm the one who has to hit the shot. Others will probably just tell me what you think I should do, and I'm going to go out and execute it. And it's definitely, It's a situation by situation case, and I don't know how what the situation is with the Padres. Are those guys like caddies where we're telling our pitchers what to do every step of the way and they're just simply executing our game plan, or are we just the caddy who carries the bag? I just catch the ball, and the pitcher is the one who's making the decisions, and you know, Ruben is making a game plan, the pitcher's then executing it, and I'm just back there to try to block the ball and frame, and the valuable things, but by the way, the Padres catchers are not rated very highly in any of those things as well.
Yeah, really nothing.
None of those metrics are favorable for the Padres catching core. So everything that is valuable is completely intangible, really, with the Padres catchers that we can't see necessarily as fans.
Yeah. And it does get ridiculous at times. Like, are you telling me, like, who's the best catcher in the league? You couldn't trade for that guy, put him behind the dish, and your pitchers feel immediately better. The guy that does all the homework.
JT Real Muto comes in.
Right. You're fine.
I think you're going to be okay, guys.
You're fine. And like Ray says, it's also about knowing the batter's tendencies, hot zones, pitch mix, a lot of homework, reading their feet, reading their swing, all of that comes into it.
And by the way,
and by the way, I'm sure Maldi and Diaz, they're veterans. They've been around a long time. I'm sure these are things that they're aware of.
And maybe
they
are calling the games for Burgert and Kolek and young guys, but you know, the veterans, they're not, so that makes a difference as well.
Look, man, if it's me and I have the opportunity, if I'm at the helm and I have the opportunity to upgrade the catching position, I'm doing it today. Absolutely today. I would have done it 6 weeks ago. But I'm not, it's not me.
All right, Paulie's got some headlines. You wanted an early Rindle report, Woods. You're getting an early Rindle report. Here we go.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Happy Tuesday. Aloha, Woodsy.
Aloha,
buddy.
All right, let's get started here. No easy way to put it. Got to start off on a sad note, but big news yesterday in Major League Baseball as Cubs and baseball legend, Hall of Famer, Ryne Sandberg passed away yesterday at the age of 65, I believe it was. I was watching, I think it was during the Padres game. I don't know. I saw a lot of different tributes pretty much across baseball. Like, they would break into the game and have some words. I think the Cubs posted like a 10-minute video. Pretty much an entire inning was obviously dedicated to Sandberg. And, just a really tough loss for the sport yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. And for all of us, I just turned 50. For all of us that grew up having WGN on in the background at all times, watching the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field, Ryne Sandberg was like the elite of the elite. His numbers are staggering for his position. You know, he was so far head and shoulders above a lot of the other guys at the Keystone that he just jumped off the screen at me when I was a little kid. Always loved Rhino. Quiet, good demeanor, but you could tell there was also a little bit of a psychopath living in there as well. And Benny, I know you feel the same way, man. Like, that's a part of our youth that is gone way too soon.
Absolutely. I was always envious of the Cubs.
100%, actually, man.
You mean someone other than your eight hitter can be the second baseman, you know, with hitting .210 with three home runs all season?
Right.
No offense to our beloved Tim Flannery at all, not even a little bit, because I love Flan. Nobody played harder than Flan, but Flan would tell you today, yeah, I would take his offensive prowess, no question.
All the second basemen had to play hard because they couldn't hit, so that's the only reason they were out there.
Brother, he texted me a picture. We got some baseball cards from my dad. He picked out a bunch of cards and sent them over. And we pulled a Tim Flannery card. And Bo was like, Dad, it's Flan. Oh. And I shot a little video and sent it over to Flan and said, hey, man, just so you know, you're still making kids' days, you know, all these years later. And he sent me back a picture of him going so hard into second base, upending somebody. And he said, He goes, that's so cool. Love you all. Hope you're well. We didn't have any rule about killing people on double plays. Sarge Matthews, just another night playing for our lives. It was Sarge sliding into him. He's upended, actually. And, yeah, Tim would have to go out and play for his dinner every single night. With the bat, he wasn't the biggest contributor. Ryan Sandberg was the total package at second base, and just so sad to lose him at such a young age.
You know,
so
what
sad.
One of his lasting legacies, I believe, will be, though, is the name Ryan. Not,
yeah.
Ryan, but
not
Ryan. In fact, I was working last night with one of our guys in the control room, Ryan at Channel 10, and he goes, oh, I am named after Ryan Sandberg. My parents added an extra N. He's R-Y-N-N-E, but
yep.
Not Ryan. Ryan.
You see a lot of Ryans come around, man, and that's because of him. And
well, I didn't know any others. I had never heard of one growing up until I saw Ryan Sandberg, and it wasn't Ryan.
They had
he was Ryan.
There's a couple in the big leagues, I thought.
No, there is. Ryan Nelson now.
Yeah, Ryan Nelson. Yeah, 100%.
I would think that a lot of those date back to parents watching games on WGN and seeing Ryan Sandberg and thinking, oh, it's kind of a cool name. It's a little different. It's not Ryan. It's different. It's Ryan.
Ryan Sandberg, he's got his number 23 retired by the Cubs. He's in the Cubs Hall of Fame. He's in the MLB Hall, the Baseball Hall of Fame. 10-time All-Star. He was an MVP. 9 straight Gold Glove Awards from 83 to 91.
Total package, man. Total.
He also
total
has his
package.
Own game, the Sandberg game, as it's named. 1984, during that season when the Cubs and Padres would eventually meet, they call it the Sandberg game. Hit 2 home runs in the 9th and 10th inning, both off of Hall of Fame reliever Bruce Sutter.
To
win the game 12-11 and help them propel them to the title that year. So,
well, there's only one way
we
can do it on this show, and it starts right now.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Shout out to his family, indeed.
Gentlemen, the great Ryan Sandberg. Yep.
Yeah. Gentlemen, we will move on. No real story here, but I do have some funny audio. I heard this live during the broadcast last night, and I also had several people reach out and make sure that I caught this audio. If you were watching the Padres broadcast on TV last night, it was in the bottom of the 2nd, I believe, and the guys were talking about tonight's giveaway. I don't know if you guys have heard about these beach towels. They're sandless beach towels.
Did you take yours with you to Hawaii, Woods?
That's a good question. I did not pack it. I don't know if my wife did or not, but I did ask her. I said, you want this, right? She goes, oh, yeah, of
you
course.
You stole it. Ben wanted it so bad, and you stole it specifically for Hawaii, and you didn't even pack it.
It, for all his beach days that he has in the future. I'm assuming it's here. I did not lord over what she packed like she lorded over what I packed. So I'm not sure if it's here or not.
Oh, well, here is the audio from yesterday's broadcast. Tell me if you can figure out why we decided to clip this.
Oh, yeah. Be the coolest cat at the beach.
Great item.
It is. It repels sand.
No sand. Never any sand on this towel.
You know what else is great? It's so long and big, Donnie.
It's very large.
You could lay this out, right? And you and your friend or loved one or kids or whatever.
Right, or dog
could sit on each side and enjoy the sand.
All right, now shorten it to what you really want to keep that for, Paulie.
This is great. It's so long and big, Donnie.
It's very large.
You could, yeah, we'll keep that forever. The just more lore from Mud and Don on the broadcast about the beach towel. Those dudes never disappoint. So
it's
long.
So long and big, Donnie.
Big. It's very large.
And Donnie plays right into it.
He plays right in.
Yeah, very large.
Very large. Lovely. That's exactly
so good.
What he's doing.
So good. Yeah. Well, listen. If for nothing else, we have a new drop for next year's tournament of drops.
Oh, 100%. And then finally, can we talk about toes right now? Is that okay?
I love feet, so I'm all in.
Well, we can talk about feet and toes.
Big foot guy.
You may have seen it by now. A couple of days ago, there was a post going viral across social media of LaMelo Ball and his new tattoo. The post was from LaMelo Ball's tattoo artist here in California. And I got to say, it's in the running. It's on the Mount Rushmore of worst tattoos ever. I realize it's visual. I can put it up on the stream here if you're watching on YouTube, but basically he got Cheetos. He had his the bottom half of his feet,
no,
tattooed,
like, the top.
Like, well, I guess, yeah, yeah, the top, yeah, whatever,
the top
however you're looking
of
at
his
it.
Foot.
Like, from the toes to, like, the middle part of your foot, look like flames, like flaming hot Cheetos. And his tattoo artist put it out on his Instagram story, said, gave at Mello the hot Cheetos. And of course, you know, the internet goes insane. Like, what are you doing? That's up there for, like, the worst tattoo of all time. Now, the update to the story is you should probably just make it a habit. If anything goes viral, if everything's getting, like, shared around on the internet, double or triple check that it actually happened. Because while these toes were tattooed like hot Cheetos, it's actually not LaMelo Ball's foot. His tattoo artists, they came out and they said, I believe yesterday, it was just a troll. Like, that was somebody else. Like,
but somebody actually got it.
Yeah,
like, somebody
did
out
get
there
it.
Is walking around with hot Cheeto toes, hot, yeah, Cheetos.
They said, it's not LaMelo. We were just trolling. We, you know, the internet's crazy. We had no idea it was going to go so viral. I'm like, really?
Didn't you? That's your first day on the internet?
Yeah, an NBA player.
First day.
Like, come on. So I guess just be aware of anything that's going viral.
I mean, Cheetos
like
are kind of toe-shaped anyway, so they should have made them look more orange and dusty, the toes.
Yes.
So they would be the actual Cheetos sticking off your feet.
Look, I know they're not good for me, but I am a huge Cheeto fan. No, I do not like the Flamin' Hots, but I do like the regular original Cheetos. And they're,
I like
one
Cheez-Its
of the worst things.
Better than Cheetos.
I like Cheez-Its too, but you're talking
they're
crackers
two,
and
totally,
chips.
Totally different. Yeah,
well, I know they're different.
Yeah,
I mean they are covered in cheese dust as well, though.
It's like I like boobs and I like cheesecake. I mean, it's completely completely different. I like them all. But hey, look, it happens to the best
you,
of them.
You caught a fake story yesterday,
yes,
though. Yeah.
Oh,
bro,
my God.
I was on the plane.
The
and
disappointment
I was like,
that I had that this story was not true.
I almost I caught myself, man, and I almost retweeted it and said, this is absolutely insane. And I couldn't believe it. I saw this tweet. And I'm so glad I went and dug a little bit. It was from Pavs After Dark. And they said, Carson Wisenhunt is making his MLB debut tonight, but don't tell his parents. The San Francisco Giants accidentally flew right-handed pitcher Carson Ragsdale's parents to Oracle Field instead. Ragsdale was DFA'd an hour ago. Buster Posey is trying to find Ragsdale's parents in the stands to explain. And that is a fake story made up for our entertainment. And almost, I mean, I would have gone to the air today for our first Don't Do This story and said, I can't believe what the San Francisco Giants, how do you drop the ball on something this huge? And, well, yeah, it's fake. It's fake. Just doing bits. And remember, guys, this is trade season. And that's not a trade. It is a transaction, but during trade season, you better double, triple, quadruple check everything.
Jeff Pawson is not an MLB insider, okay? Just be clear about that.
Jeff Pawson is, make sure it's real. I've gotten a couple of texts this morning about some rumor mill stuff going on. Haven't confirmed any of it, probably won't confirm any of it. A lot of it has to do with the San Diego Padres. And, you know, listen, if some of this stuff comes to fruition, could be very interesting. But I'm not going to waste everybody's time with it because it's not confirmed.
All right. That is a Rindle Report. We've got heart tickets to give away coming up. Plus, we've got actually double sports action tonight here in San Diego. We can talk about that coming up as well. After a quick timeout, Ben and Woods continuing next year on 97.3 The Fan.
But first, listen, you know, when I go, travel-geddon's been happening. I've been traveling a lot in the month of July, and of course, I miss my EcoWater. Of course I do. My EcoWater, we drink gallons of it every single day, and if you are interested in getting the EcoWater system put into your home, I highly recommend it. I've got three people, my Ohana, in the other room that would absolutely give you their double thumbs up endorsement on EcoWater SoCal. They have they've really changed the game. Reverse osmosis system. You get bottled quality water straight from your tap. And it's not just the fact that it tastes good. It's much, much better for you. Have them come out, do a free in-home water test today. You'll be amazed at what you find. The water that you're bathing in, the water that's wrecking your pipes, you know, the green stuff around your shower, that's hard water. Get Eco Water, get it put in your home, and you will be so happy that you did. Try the Soft Life and Alkaline Water for now, just $9.95 a month. Call 760-350-3338 or visit EcoWaterSoCal.com. Let them know Woodsy sent you. All the way from Hawaii, I'm recommending Eco Water. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water. Keeping it soft since 1925. Eco Water, your water should be perfect.
Unless you happen to be in the Hawaiian Islands, it's going to be a very late start tonight for SDFC as they open League's Cup play at Snapdragon Stadium at 8 p.m. tonight against FC Pachuca in the first game of the tournament that they're playing. Do you have any questions? Need me to Ben-splain the League's Cup at all for you, Woods?
No, I thought Darren Smith did a really good job at doing that on Friday. So I think I'm good there. That game will start at 5 p.m. here. Padres are on at 6:40. That game will start at 3:40 here, which is just a delight. I mean, it is just a delight.
But are you ready for tomorrow when the game starts at 10:10 a.m.?
That will be 7:10. Are we off early or no? No, we're not.
No. You yeah, the show doesn't even end until 7 o'clock a.m. your time.
I don't know. I'm all jacked up with the time, but I love the early starts here. It's great. You can have dinner and watch the game. We have dinner early here. We have dinner early at home. But yeah, we're going to play a little golf today. Then we're going to do a family beach day. My brother's here with his kids. So excited about that. Going to hit this restaurant, the Dolphin, for dinner. It's the best. And then yeah, watch the game and crash out early and get up at 2:30 in the morning again and be with you boys.
We had one more story from yesterday that we planned to get your take on. We haven't talked about the Emmanuel Classe betting story from yesterday. It happened like right at the end of our show yesterday. We were on the air at the golf course. And we're like, whoa. Big story here. And, you know, I was thinking about it and then watching like last night's game, Robert Suarez, blew the save but picked up the dub. Like, what does that mean? If Class A, I don't even know. I really don't know the rules. Like, are you untradeable when you're on the disciplinary list or the whatever they call it, the non-paid list? I have no idea if he's even tradable. But now, doesn't that make Suarez like the number one relief option potentially on the market?
Yeah, I'd say so. And you know, as far as this gambling stuff goes, I mean, I think it's the tip of the iceberg right now. And I don't necessarily, I have seen a lot of strong takes, and you know, everyone has made the same joke over and over. This suspension is brought to you by DraftKings or whatever. You know, we've seen it. I am of the opinion that we as a nation are lacking in accountability a lot of the times. And I think, you know, every single player that puts on a uniform, they absolutely know the rules. The rule is posted in every clubhouse. We all know that story. I think if these guys got into that, that's on them. I don't think it's on BetMGM. I don't think it's on DraftKings. I don't think it's on Prize Picks. Underdog. I really don't. I think it's a matter of personal responsibility. I haven't shared this yet, but I stopped betting on games. I stopped. I don't bet on games anymore. I haven't made a bet on a game in 6 weeks. And the reason is because it wasn't fun anymore. I'm betting on games I wasn't even watching. And I was like, this is kind of dumb. And, you know, matter of like, hey, I'm taking some big trips. I need to tighten the belt a little bit too. What's a good way to not spend any money? And, you know, I'm not taking some moral high ground here. I don't. I think everybody has free will to do what they want. But, you know, when it starts leaking into the game, and let's be honest, man, it's always been there. Now, when it does feel hypocritical when they're saying, you can't do this, but they've posted that rule. Everybody knows that rule. They know that they can't do it, and yet some guys are still going to do
it. So I remember back at Fantasy Camp when we were at the Padres spring training facility. I was sitting in front of my locker one morning and I wanted to play like underdog or something because
wouldn't let you
or bet MGM. Like, we were able to gamble in the, you know, the Arizona state lines, so I was able to use an app that I couldn't use here in California. I wanted to like check it out. it literally would not let me. Like the Wi-Fi. It, like, blocks any sort of gambling websites, and it's like, it's not even a, hey, are you sure you want to visit this website? It's like you can't use this. You cannot use this app. You cannot visit this website. So like, that alone should send a message to any player in any organization, and then to like go, all right, I'm gonna still like double down. Betting term there. Like I'm so into the, I want to do this so badly that I will find a VPN. I will find my way around it. It's like, man, you are just playing with fire right there.
I guess I saw the arguments. You know, Major League Baseball got into bed with these gambling companies. What did they expect was going to happen? You kind of said the same thing, Woods. And you know, my brain takes me, okay, like what would happen if they aren't? Let's say they don't accept any DraftKings ads. So now players can't play. I mean, I don't see where one leads to the other. Players can or can choose to follow the rules or not follow the rules. There's no difference whether MLB has a partnership or not with Prize Picks or DraftKings or whatever. In terms, if you want to say that gambling is an ill on society and should just be banned, I am willing to listen to that argument. But if you're going to argue that, then alcohol should also be banned.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, alcohol does much more damage to lives even than gambling does. Both do, and we can live in that society where you just can't. You're just not allowed to do anything that's potentially addictive or bad for you. But as long as we live in a society where you get to make your own choices and decide whether or not you get to have a beer after work or a cocktail before dinner, and if you want to put a few bucks on a game, if you want to bet responsibly, you can. Then there's no difference between the two. And I'm okay with it, you know, but you have to know yourself and you have to know your limits and you have to know that, hey, I can't handle this, so I better not do it. Otherwise, then we just don't let anybody do anything. But that's a different society then. So, I mean, that's kind of my two cents on it.
Yeah, I mean, again, the rule's there. It's there for a reason. If in fact, you know, he is guilty, that's tough, man. It's a blight. You know, it's a blight on the game, as it always is when a guy gets popped for doing something he shouldn't do. It doesn't change much for me as far as where they're getting their money. You know, it's big business at the end of the day. But there are rules in big business. And, you know, if he broke them, it's tough. Tough for the Guardians. Very, very tough look for them. And, you know, to have two guys under investigation right now.
As for the trade possibilities, I mean, Helsley's still out there. Duran could be traded by the Twins. So there are other closer and top relief options other than Suarez. But
Twins, they shipped off old friend Chris Paddock. He's in Detroit now.
They did, and one of the relievers
as well.
Yeah, that was made yesterday, I believe.
Yeah. Crazy.
Is one of the moves. So, but, you know, they certainly would be listening if there are teams interested in relief pitching about Robert Suarez. Again, that's a whole nother issue, though. The Padres would have to figure out how they would replace Robert Suarez, even if he's definitely the most logical guy to trade. If you're going to trade someone out of your bullpen, got to opt out at the end of the season. Got a lot of value from the saves, but you probably have three guys who, quite frankly, are performing a little bit better than he is.
Isn't it the same thing we've been talking about with Dylan Cease? Like you had a whole segment talking about how like Vasquez, Bergert, and Kolek, like those guys
Cease is the most logical guy to trade. Going to be a free agent, not performing as well as the other guys. I think keep the guys who have done well and trade the guy who isn't doing quite as well.
I would say based on the same criteria there that Suarez is even more likely to be traded. Like you're going to get much more in return, I think, for Suarez than Cease.
I don't know. Starters tend to be more valuable than relievers, so who knows?
Every pitching coach looks at Dylan Cease and goes, "Yeah, I can work with that. I can figure it out." Yeah.
Woods, enjoy your round of golf.
I will.
You may freely go and pick up your brother now and go
enjoy, while
Paulie and I will preview tonight's matchup and what the Padres are facing against the New York Mets and wrap up the show on the other side.
I will be available via text, so please keep me abreast of any happenings or goings on. I'm not unplugging completely. I love you guys. Thanks for picking me up here, as you always do, and I'll talk to you guys in the morning.
As Woodsy goes, he would also like to give away
I love you guys, Ben.
I love you too.
Thank you.
I heart you.
Jeez, come on, man.
And you're going to give away some heart tickets before you go as well. Can you do that
for
everybody?
Let me go crazy on
That's
you.
That's my favorite heart song also.
Kicks ass, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Hannah, I need Hannah to go crazy on me later. She's a little tired from the trip. But we'll see how tonight shapes up. Love you guys.
If you want to win tickets to see Hart at Pechanga Arena, call now. Sixth caller is going to win a pair. It's August 13th at Pechanga, 833-288-0973. Limited tickets remain at AXS.com. Access.com, but call now, 833-288-0973. Give away that pair of tickets to Hart at Pechanga Arena in just a couple of weeks. And, yeah, we'll come back. What the Padres are facing, the matchup for tonight, and more as we wrap things up on a Tuesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Congratulations to Martin, who won the tickets to Hart. I believe we're going to be giving those away all week. I'm going to try to give them away a little earlier tomorrow. So if you didn't win them today, listen in the first hour of the program tomorrow, and we'll try to give some early Tier 1s an opportunity to win some Hart tickets at Pechanga Arena. All right, got a few minutes left. Want to look ahead to tonight's matchup, game two of the series against the New York Mets here, and we will do so right after our last check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, game two of the series tonight. Padres going for their fourth win in a row, which would be four wins in a row right on the heels of four losses in a row, completely, hopefully, offsetting the four-game losing streak that had us getting a little nervous there for the Padres a few days ago. Sure would feel good to get it all erased in the span of 4 days, but going to be a tougher matchup, I think, tonight for the San Diego Padres for two reasons. First of all, they're going up against a tough lefty, and those have generally given them some problems this year. And more importantly, they're going up against a former Padre, which, for whatever reason, has always been, like in franchise history, seemingly the kryptonite for the San Diego Padres, whether it's pitchers or hitters. Yeah, they leave. They may be mediocre. They may be bad other places. But when they go up against their former team, generally they perform quite well. And it'll be Sean Manaea on the mound, returning to Petco Park tonight in game two of the series. And Ryan Burgert for the San Diego Padres should be activated with a corresponding move before the game today. Not sure if that means like Ron Marinaccio is back on the plane to El Paso, or if they if they'll pick somebody else, but they will have to make a move to activate Ryan Burgert before the game today. Now that is not quite where they were on in terms of their starting rotation. This would have been Yu Darvish's scheduled day to start if they had just kept going straight through from the road trip, but he is expected to start tomorrow's series finale just to get a little bit extra rest in between starts, and that'll push Nick Pivetta back a couple of days to give him a full week off between starts. And he's the guy who's probably had the least amount of time off. He's really made all of his starts. He went, he started right after, right before the All-Star break, and then I think the third game after. So this would give him kind of a second little extra cushion to try to save some of his innings, because obviously he's going to be really valuable down the stretch.
Like 2 weeks in the last month, right, off. Like That should help.
That should help a little bit. And Mike Schilt did say yesterday, this is not just about Yu Darvish. This is about the kind of rotation as a whole and how they're trying to set things up. And I would assume Pivetta is part of it, and maybe wanting to get Ryan Burgert back up here is part of it as well. But part is, you know, just making sure they don't overtax Yu Darvish with an every fifth day schedule too quickly as he comes back, and give him a little extra time before starting tomorrow.
I wonder, is there any possibility of like going to a six-man rotation to kind of wrap up the year here, the regular season, and try to preserve any of those bullets for some of these guys that haven't really, we haven't seen them do it over a full season, the Vasquez's, the Kolek's, the Burgerts?
I think when Michael King comes back, there's absolutely a case to be made. If Yu Darvish, you know, stays healthy, looks better, obviously, than he did last time. But if he gives you a couple of solid outings and you've got Pivetta, King, and Darvish, now, whether or not you trade Dylan Cease, if you trade him, I'd imagine you're adding a veteran starting pitcher from somewhere else,
right?
A rental, you know, from somewhere else.
You almost have to, right?
And then you have the options of Burgert and Kolek. Perhaps Hart, but even if it was just Burgert and Kolek, that would give you enough for a six-man rotation, at least temporarily, down the stretch. And you always have that schedule behind you on the wall. I mean, what's the off-day schedule look like for the couple of months? They have the next couple of Thursdays off, I believe. So, and then I think they have a bit of a longer stretch where maybe you would want to go to six games.
There you go. Off day this Thursday, off day next Thursday, off day the following Thursday, then a full week of games, and then the final Thursday of the month of August. So, yeah, and then first Thursday in September. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the next 6 Thursdays.
Yeah, I mean, that would mean, like, full weeks off for every starter. I would think that the games against the Dodgers and Giants, they're going to want to look at the matchups and have their best pitchers going as often as possible, so they may tweak in there, like add someone just to make sure, like, Pivetta bounces 3 times maybe in those games as opposed to 2. I would think there'd be some planning going on there in terms of the starting rotation. So, yeah, they do have some flexibility. Whether they keep Dylan Cease or not, if Michael King comes back, that will give them options in how they want to use their starting rotation going forward. Meanwhile, a couple of new rumors, or not new rumors really, but just kind of continued rumors. Dennis Lynn, our Linsider, in The Athletic this morning, writing, as of late Monday, President of Baseball Operations A.J. Preller still seemed to be aiming high. League sources said the Padres remain among the teams in pursuit of Cleveland Guardians outfielder Stephen Kwan. Stephen Kwan, it would be a very interesting target for the Padres. Clearly, be a huge upgrade in the Padres lineup.
Oh, yeah.
He's also the most Luis Ariz-like player in baseball, which would give you two, essentially, Luis Arizes. Now, Kwan actually, in some respects, is more valuable in terms of, like, overall war. In fact, he's close to, I think, Eugenio Suarez in overall war. So he's a very versatile, valuable player, you know, who hits well and would certainly upgrade your lineup. But he's also going to be pricey. He's got 2 more years of control. So Cleveland's going to want to ask a lot for a player like Stephen Kwan. And you're adding to what is already kind of the signature with your lineup if you're going in that direction. Contact guys, you know, line drive hitters, singles hitters, but he's not going to give you power. He's not adding the slug that you're missing. Meanwhile, Dennis writes, despite reports that the Boston Red Sox have taken Jarren Duran off the market, the Padres continue to express interest in the longtime target. Preller, famous for his exhaustiveness, was also said to be considering such commodities as high-end relief and starting pitching depth. So AJ essentially has been told, according to these reports, by Craig Breslow, that they are not trading Jarren Duran. And yet he keeps...
calls back 3 hours later.
Calling and saying, are you sure? I mean, what about this? No, AJ, we're not trading him. Well, I mean, think it over, you know.
Everyone's got a price.
I'll call you again in the morning and see if you've changed your mind. AJ, we're not trading Jarren Duran. I know, but I really,
AJ,
really
I will
want
block
him.
This number.
I really do want him, so
morning,
I mean,
guys.
Is there just a chance perhaps you... Well, why don't you just think it over? Like, take your time. I mean, you know, I'll give you a call back in 2 hours and we'll chat again and maybe we can talk about Jarren Duran again.
What's the latest on Luis Robert? He left a game. He was hurt. Is he?
I had a run on Sunday. I'm pretty sure he's been.
Did he come back and hit one?
I think he did.
Okay.
So I think he
still
is
still available, still on the market.
Actually, like more teams are starting to get interested in him. I saw the Dodgers might be interested in Luis Robert.
Of course,
a couple of other teams now. His price tag's probably going up just because he's been a little hotter in the last month, which is good for the White Sox. If they're trying to trade him, they're going to get a better price for him, and bad for the Padres, who probably could have had him for next to nothing a month ago when he was the worst player in baseball, but all of a sudden might have competition for his services as well. So we will continue to hear these rumors for the next 48, I don't know, 51 hours or so until the MLB trade deadline hits on Thursday. I'm 100%. I mean, you can never be 100% of sure of anything in baseball.
Right.
I'm as close to 100% sure as I can be, the Padres will make a trade and add a bat or more before the trade deadline. I think absolute
just have no
minimum,
idea what it's going to look like.
Absolute minimum, they add a bat where you go, yeah, all right, that's fine. You know, someone better
the right
add
price.
To the lineup. You know,
yeah.
That. I mean, that's the minimum. And of course, when it's AJ Preller, the maximum is like, oh my God, what did you just do? I can't believe that you pulled that off. So we're somewhere between. All right, there's a bat that definitely helps the Padres' depth, and you know, stick him in the lineup. That might be helpful. Didn't cost too much to. Wow, you just remade your entire organization in the last 16 minutes before the trade deadline.
And somehow the farm system looks pretty good for next year.
Yeah, right? You made the farm system better somehow.
The farm system. You
traded nine farm system.
Okay. Yeah.
Traded nine players off your big league roster. You added eight other players. I mean, you know, like 2020, remember? I mean, literally traded a quarter of the team.
Yeah.
Right before the trade
deadline.
Complete
turnover of the roster. Yeah, that was the August 31st trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't expect that insane, but with AJ, you can never really count anything out. So those are the latest rumors that are floating around, and you'll hear more rumors over the next couple of days. And
I still think
AJ will call 10 more times on Jaren Duran, even though he said, I'm not listening anymore. Not listening.
I just have a feeling that AJ's going to pull something out of his hat that, like, nobody considered, nobody thought about, because I keep thinking about it. I was telling you, I think talked about it last week. I was talking to some buddies, and one of my friends goes, when was the last time outside of Soto that there was so much smoke between AJ Preller and a player on another team, and he actually went and got him? That hasn't happened very often. You hear the connections. The rumors are always going. But really, who was the last player outside of Soto that was like, oh, Preller has been wanting him for years. Preller's going to get him if it kills him. He's got to have this guy. It happens every year. Those trades never actually end up happening.
That's true. There's so many players that have been rumored. I mean, we tried talking about Cedric Mullins like 3 months ago. He's still on the Orioles. I mean, they will be trading at least an outfielder or two, I would imagine. Laureano, O'Hearn. I mean, they're all kind of being talked about. I don't know if they'll be Padres or not, but these moves will be made. AJ will be involved in some of them, you know, as we go forward. And at this point, at least we know by Thursday afternoon, it'll be done. And we don't have to wonder anymore what the Padres are going to look like going forward. We'll know.
Mike Schilt can
start filling out his lineup accordingly for the last 2 months of the season. And hopefully he'll add a little bit depth where he can, you know, push Gavin Sheets down a little bit. You know, even if he does have the catchers, you'll look pretty good 1 through 8. That's the ideal outcome here at the end of the week. All right, that's it. We're done. All right, Woodsy off to the golf course. He will be back, though. 3 a.m. Hawaii time tomorrow, 6 a.m. here on the west coast of Southern California. For Paul Reindl, I'm Ben Higgins. Brayden Soprenant coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.